All right. Good morning, church family, and happy St. Patrick's Day. Happy you're here this morning. If you don't know about St. Patrick, look him up. He was a great missionary evangelist. 120,000 people were baptized because of his ministry, and 300 churches were started. And a wonderful day that we can celebrate this beginning of revival on St. Patrick's Day. And what a wonderful privilege. How many of y'all have a copy of the Bible, do you? Take your copy of the Bible, be find of Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 in your Bibles, where we'll be. And we were there in Sunday school, so if you were in the Sunday school hour, you have one up on everybody else, all right? Ephesians chapter 3. I am married. I have one wife, and Bethley Joy is with me. And she's here at the front. We've been married almost 31 years now. Coming up here later this summer, it'll be 31 years for us. And we have five youngins, and I've been so blessed. There's the whole family, several marrieds in there as well. And this is the young family right here. And over there on the ends, my daughter-in-law with our granddaughter, Ellie. That's Joshua and Bethany. Joshua's our oldest son. Our oldest is Abigail next to him. Joshua's a youth pastor in Camarillo, California. And Abigail and David serve at West Coast Baptist College. He's a professor there, and she serves in the ministry of the church. And there's my sweetheart and me. We are just super blessed to be with you guys this week. Thank you for inviting us. There's Matthew. He's a youth pastor in Birmingham, Alabama. I'm a Tennessean. My son's in Alabama. I'm a Volunteer fan. He's a Roll Tide fan. You know what you call that? Failure. And so y'all pray about that. That's my son right there. He's Matthew and Kareth. They have little James. James came 2 months early, and almost 2 months early, and he's doing great, growing like a weed, almost 6 months old. But Matt and Kareth have a great ministry down in Birmingham. Charity is there next to Kareth. She's over with her brother in your children's ministry, and Jacob is there. And that's Anna on the end. They're not married. They're dating, and he just got permission last week to marry that girl. He hasn't bought the ring yet, but he got permission. So we let her in the picture and put her on the end just in case. Y'all know what I mean? And that way, if we have to, we can crop that, but that'd make it easier. But we're convinced she's the one, and we're thrilled about it. Her parents are thrilled about it. We are all good friends, and we're so thrilled. This is just such a blessing. Now, you come to every revival service, will you? Come to every service tonight, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And Pastor already said, you know, if you're working, you get off late, well, come in your work clothes. I'll wear mine. You wear yours. We'll do great. And it won't bother us a bit. Will not bother us a bit. Come, just get here and let God work in your heart. There will be a children's ministry every night of the revival. And so bring your boys and girls, bring your grandchildren. And my Jake is with me. Jake is in Bible college, but he is studying online so he can travel with his dad this semester. And he does our children's revival, and he's really good with kids. So it's going to be a blessing. Your kids are going to learn the Word of God. They're going to be blessed by it, and they're going to have a great time. So come to every service. Bring somebody with you. Isn't it great? Isn't it great to just be able to be in church today? Isn't it beautiful out there? It's cold. That's no way to welcome a Floridian to Ohio, y'all. And it's cold out there today, but my goodness, so happy to be with you. Our family is thrilled, and we're honored, and we're happy. Pastor's family, that's pretty good right there, wasn't it? Man, I didn't know you guys sang, and that was great. And just so you know, Pastor, I feel your pain. Your boys are looking down on you, aren't they? And my boys are that way. I'm just, that was a little hard on me. My boys, I've got sons I can look up to, and looks like you're on that route too. But what a blessed family, and isn't this a great building? I'm just thrilled the Lord's blessed First Baptist with this church and this facility. What a blessing and what a privilege to serve. You know, Pastor said you're always out by two. Is that right? And so we've got plenty of time. And I won't be long this morning, but let's jump right into the Word of God. We talked in the Sunday school hour from the prayer of Ephesians chapter 3. Paul, if you know much about Paul's writings, Paul frequently, when he writes the Word of God, what Paul does, the Apostle Paul, is he starts out and he always writes about doctrinal things. Doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. If you're not familiar with the word doctrine, that is about what we believe. This is what Christianity believes. This is our doctrine. Then Paul transitions somewhere in his writings and he talks about not how we believe. The latter half is always about how we should behave. How many of you agree that if you're a Christian, you should behave like one? How many of y'all agree with that? Everybody hates a hypocrite, don't they? Let me say that again. Everybody hates a hypocrite, don't they? That's true. Everybody does. Everybody hates a hypocrite. So Paul is writing to say, this is how you get saved, and this is how you're supposed to live after you get saved. That's what he says. This is how you get to know God. through Jesus Christ, and this is how you live after you get to know God through Jesus Christ. In Ephesians, he uniquely puts right in the middle of those two this prayer. And I'll begin reading in verse 14 if you'd like to follow along. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. It's a wonderful prayer, don't you agree? If you joined us in the Sunday School Hour, we zeroed in on verse 16, in which we talked in verse 16 about the strength we need, the strength we need. In this hour this morning, let's zero in on verse 17 in the first line, and let's talk today about the growth we need, the growth we need. He says it like this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. There's an author named Dana Chow who tells the story about a missionary in Africa who had poor health and depended on goat milk for his source of vitamins to help deal with his health issues. One day, the tribal leader came to visit this missionary. After a few minutes, it was obvious that the tribal leader was very interested in the goat. The missionary decided to give his goat to the tribal leader as a gesture of kindness in order to build the trust he needed to share in that village the love of God. In return, the tribal leader gave the missionary his walking stick. Without the goat milk, the missionary became weaker and weaker over several days. Finally, using the walking stick he got from the tribal leader, he walked into the village to purchase goat milk. When he offered to buy the goat milk, his money was refused. Instead, he was told that he was entitled to anything in the village that he wanted. When the missionary asked why, the villagers explained that the walking stick he held was the scepter of their tribal leader. Possessing that scepter entitled him to everything in the village. Now, when I read that story, I thought of this text. Because what a lesson for me and you in this text. We have great needs, don't we? Are you that way? I don't always know how to be the husband ought to be. Anybody here identify with that? Don't always know how to raise my kids the way I should. I don't always know how to be the man I ought to be. I don't always know how to defeat my besetting sins and live the Christian life the way that I should. But what Paul is letting you know right here, everything you need is right here in the Word of God. He's got what you need. You need victory? It's available. You need salvation? You can know you're going to heaven. You need help over a besetting sin? Help is available. So he prays here for the church at Ephesus. And number one, he says to them, you know what you need? You need strength. If you were in Sunday school, I told the Sunday school hour that my dad thought the answer for every need was a good whooping. I'll tell you what you need. What you need's a good whooping. Anybody here have a dad like mine? My dad would say that about politicians. I'll tell you what that politician needs. Somebody ought to give him a good whooping. My dad thought that would solve everything. Well, Paul says, here's what'll solve every issue of your life. Number one, you need power in your life. You need strength. But number two, you need growth. Now, here's how he says it. It's in verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now, chew on that just a moment. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. There are several lessons we ought to learn here. Number one is this. This is a spiritual transaction, all right? This is something spiritual.
It's a spiritual transaction, and it is focused on the word heart, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now, let's talk about the word heart just a moment. How many of y'all know that word, do you? You familiar with the word heart? How many of y'all know the word heart, right? Now, how do you define it? That's hard to do, because we use the word all the time. How many of you have ever said this or heard this? We'll say, now I'll tell you, that guy right there is hard-hearted. How many of y'all ever heard that before, have you? How many of y'all know somebody like that? They're hard-hearted. Or you'd say, now she's got such a tender heart. How many of y'all know somebody like that? My sister's like that. My sister cries about things she ought not to cry about. Like my horse. I had a horse when I was a kid. You know who fed that horse? I did. You know who took care of that horse? I did. You know who watered that horse? I did. 17 years I took care of that horse. I'm the one that curried that horse. I'm the one that took care of that horse's, you know, hoofs. I'm the one that took care of, it was my horse. I rode the horse. I fed the horse. I paid for the horse. That was my horse. When that horse of mine had to be put down, got old, it went blind. She finally lost her sight. She was hurting herself. She was getting weak. I was in Bible college at the time. My daddy called me and my dad said, son, I got bad news. Your horse is dying and she's suffering and I need to put her down. And I said, well, all right, she's been a good horse. That's my horse. I'm the one that fed that horse and walked that horse and exercised that horse and rode that horse and paid for that horse. My sister did none of that, had nothing to do with that horse. Not one time, not one dime, never. My dad put that horse to sleep. My sister cried for 3 months. Now, there's something wrong with that, don't you think? That's not your horse. What you all upset about? She's tender-hearted. That's the deal. She's tender-hearted. Down where I grew up, I'm a Tennessean by birth. Where I grew up, they say this all the time. They'll say, bless your heart. Y'all say that up here in Ohio? Do y'all say that? Bless your heart. Now, down where, I don't know what they all mean up here in the north, but where I'm from, it's usually kind of not a good thing to say that. They'll say, that baby's so ugly, bless its heart. Like you can say something bad as long as you add bless your heart to it. So y'all know this word heart, don't you? This is a good word. It's a Bible word. And here's what he says. Look, I'm going to put it on the screen here for you. Let's chew on the word heart. Now think about this just a little bit. This idea of the word heart, we've got to think it through just a little bit. The heart involves my thinking, my emotions, and my decisions. Now, how many of you were with us in the 9:30 hour here in the auditorium? How many of you were? Now, do you remember the inner man in the 9:30 hour? Back up there in verse 16. That we would be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Notice that the inner man and the heart are identical here in the Word of God. Because the inner man is about your thoughts, your emotions, and your decisions. God is interested on what's going on inside of you. God is interested that you start in the inside and be what you ought to be inside so you can be what you ought to be outside. God always starts in the inner man. In the next verse, he says it like this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. The word heart is the sum total of your thoughts, your emotions, and the decisions you make. So when the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart, what's he talking about there? The word of God has got to get in my thinking, govern my emotions so that my decisions are all right. It's a package deal. When the Word of God controls my thoughts, my emotions can be what they ought to be. Don't you know this? When you and I battle with depression and worry and frustration and irritations and bothers, when we struggle emotionally, frequently you can take that right back to wrong thinking. When I get the idea to where I think, oh my goodness, the world is falling apart, and if so-and-so gets elected, we're not going to survive, and the world's going to fall apart, and we're not going to make it, and oh my goodness, what in the world are we going to do? Like, what is God going to do if so-and-so gets elected in this next, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? How many of y'all know that the Bible has already told us the end of the story? We're on the winning side. Y'all believe that or not? We're on the winning side. And somebody says, well, what if we die? Are you saved on your way to heaven? If you die, you're going to heaven. I'm okay with that. Aren't you? I mean, I'm not planning to go this afternoon. But if I were, I'm okay. Do y'all believe in heaven? Do y'all believe in heaven, my friends? Do you? Heaven is a place where Jesus is, God is, no sickness in that place, No sorrows there, no suffering there, no tragedies there, no trials there, no death there, no disease there, no financial worries there. Oh my, no wonder one of the old songwriters, we used to sing this all the time when I was a boy, won't it be wonderful there? Anyway, don't you feel sorry for Lazarus in the Bible? He died, he went to heaven, Jesus brought him back 4 days later. Now be honest, don't you feel sorry for him? I can't prove it, but I think he walked out of the tomb and he was like, seriously? I can't prove that, but I think that's what happened. See, here's the whole point I'm making. God's interested in your thinking. That's why I titled this section about growth. What do we need? Spiritual growth. It starts when I take God's word and I go to God's word and my heart is different. My thinking is what it ought to be because I'm thinking truth. And the truth controls my emotions and helps my decisions to be what they ought to be. Think of it like this. Did you know that this is a salvation matter? Did y'all know that? This is true in salvation. Now, salvation is a heart matter. How many of y'all know that? The Bible says that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Now, think about the word heart. What is it? It's my thoughts, my emotions, and my decisions. So how do you get saved? Now, we're going to have a baptism today. And we're going to baptize somebody today because they have been saved. And baptism is their testimony that I got saved. It is an illustration. We baptize in our Baptist churches by immersion because baptism is an illustration. It pictures the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. So when our friends get baptized today, they're saying, I've been saved through Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that I believe in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the baptizer today will put them under the water. That pictures the death of Jesus Christ. And then they will come out of the water picturing the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We even say it, buried in the likeness of his death and risen to walk in newness of life. Why do we say that? Because baptism is a picture. Now it's testifying that he's saved, she's saved. It is identifying with the church. There's a lot about baptism. But here's what happened. The reason they're getting baptized is because something happened in their heart. They got saved. Salvation's a heart matter. In other words, when you get saved, you got to start here. Here's what you start with. You go to the Word of God, and somebody steps into your life and gives you a track, or you turn the radio on, and you hear somebody preaching the Word of God, or you open a Bible, and you start reading the Bible, or somebody comes by and knocks on your door and talks to you, and all of a sudden, you're confronted with truth. What is the truth? Well, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, let's just stop right there. Do you think that's true? Everybody's a sinner? Do y'all believe that? Does everybody do wrong? The Bible even says we're born that way. Do y'all believe that? If you don't believe that, have kids. Say amen right there, huh? You don't have to teach a child to do wrong, do you? No, they're going to do that naturally. Why? Because they're sinners. All of us are. The Bible says we're all sinners. We don't deserve to go to heaven. In fact, the Bible even says we couldn't get there if we wanted to. We don't even know where it is. We know we're a living soul. We know that something about us says there's got to be a God. Even an atheist will smash his thumb with a hammer and take God's name in vain. Well, why would you do that? Because something down in his heart says there's a God there. See, it's about thinking. It starts with thinking. You know, if you're going to get saved, you got to think. Somebody said that Christianity is a thinking man's religion. You don't have to think your way into Islam. You know how you get into Islam? You get into Islam because you're born there. You don't have a choice. You're born. This is what Islam does. This is what you do. Our friends that we know in India that are Hindu, you know what? They're born that way. You don't have to think your way through it. You just do what they tell you to do. Christianity is a thinking man's religion. You got to look for truth. Is there a God? Is there a God? Well, think it through. Is there? Would it make sense? Would it make sense that all of this happened by accident? That Orion's belt just happened to be there by accident? And it's always been there. Orion's Belt. Look up in those night sky. Is there anything out there when you wander at the Big Dipper that always points to the North Star? Is there any chance, no matter how it turns in the world, in the night sky, throughout the winter and the summer and the spring and the fall, you can watch the Big Dipper spinning around in the sky. It will always point to the North Star. That's how you know where North is. It has absolutely always been that way. Is there any chance in the world that's an accident? Or could it be that there's a God out there that designed this world? See, here's what the Bible's telling you to do. The salvation's a heart matter. You got to think. Is there a God? Well, is there anything to this that Jesus lived on this earth? Look it up. Well, history will tell you that Jesus lived on this earth. There's no doubt he did. Well, what was different about it was that he lived on this earth and it was said that he was born of a virgin. He wasn't like us. He was virgin born. Think about that. And he lived a sinless life. The only person in the world that ever lived without sin has been Jesus Christ. History describes this Jesus as a good man and as a sinless man. And history tells us that the Romans took him and nailed him to a cross and he died. The Bible says that there was more than that going on there. That all we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone to his own way. But that God laid on him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. So here's truth. The truth is I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I do wrong. I know that. We all know that. Everybody knows that. Well, the truth is that a Savior named Jesus came to this world, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, and went to an old rugged cross and died for our sins. I'm a sinner, and my sin has to be paid for. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible says that. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But then the Bible says that God laid on him the iniquity of us all. We're all sinners. Jesus took our place. We can't get ourselves to heaven, so he earned heaven on our behalf. And somebody says, well, how do you know if it's true? Here's how you know. They buried him, and 3 days later, that man, Jesus Christ, walked out of the grave by his own power. You know what the resurrection, you know what Easter Sunday says? Jesus is more than a man. You know what Easter Sunday says? Jesus is deity. You know what Easter Sunday says? Jesus has authority and power over death and hell and the grave itself. You know what Easter Sunday says? When Jesus Christ offers you forgiveness of sins and eternal life, you know what Easter Sunday says? When Jesus offers you that, it's a valid offer. That's the power of the resurrection. Think it over. Salvation is a hard matter. You got to stop and say, okay, God, what is the truth? Well, the truth is there's a real God and you're a real sinner. There's a real Savior named Jesus Christ who died for your sin. And he's really available to forgive your sins and give you everlasting life. You gotta know that. That's hard. Salvation's a heart matter. It's your thinking. Have you ever stopped long enough to think about it? You ever been driving a combine thinking about it? Is there a truck driver in the room? You ever been driving your truck thinking about God, and heaven or hell or sin? You ever read a biology book and thought about it? Is there a chance this is an accident? Just evolved into being? Is there just a chance of that? Or does it make more sense that with all this order, there has to be a God somewhere that made all this? Have you ever stopped and thought about it? Let's just think about that. Have you ever stopped? You ever turned on a radio and heard a song that mentioned God and thought about it? When I was in high school, I went to Wartburg Central High School, Wartburg, Tennessee. When I was a boy and didn't know God, I was introduced to a rock band called AC/DC. And they had a song that's famous even to this day. They said, I'm on the highway to hell. I remember as an unsaved, unbelieving high school student, thinking about heaven and hell. Do you ever think about it? You got to die, don't you?
You ever think about it? Our friend Jaden, his family is going to have a rough week this week. Because 1 year ago this coming week, he was killed. Jaden was 19. Sat in front of me Sunday morning. We could see him in our service Sunday morning. Tuesday afternoon was weed eating. Pensacola, Florida. Just working, paying his way through college. Man lost control of a truck, ran off the road, over a sidewalk, up into a yard. And Jaden was gone. Life's that short. Do you ever think about it? Salvation's a heart matter. You got to start here. Let it affect your emotions. God designed you in His image. That's why you have emotions. Have you ever thought about the fact I'm a sinner? There's not a chance in the world I can go to heaven. I've sinned against God. God is real and I'm a sinner. You ever thought about it? Have you ever felt it? That's emotions. But that's not enough. Somebody in this room, you're like, yeah, I know I'm a sinner. Yeah, I know about I know there's got to be a God out there. That is not enough. Because the heart is your thoughts combined with your emotions and then your decisions. You know what salvation is? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You know what salvation is? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what salvation is? It's coming to God in repentance and faith. It's saying, God, you're right about me. You are out there and I'm a sinner. And I've sinned against you and I've broken your word. But your son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was buried, and was raised from the dead, and I need him to be my Savior and my God. When you are willing to say, God, that's true, and I'm wrong, you're right, I'm wrong, you're righteous, I'm not, but I want you in my life, and you turn to him on that basis, salvation's a heart matter. Have you ever been saved like that? It's a Sunday morning service in a Baptist revival. Has there ever been a time in your life, my young friends, ever been a time in your life that you turned to Jesus Christ, you believed on Jesus Christ, you received Jesus Christ to be your God and your Savior? Well, why not this morning? How about it, Daddy? Ever been a time in your life? How about it, Grandpa, Grandma? How about it, you single folks? Has there ever been a time in your life? Ever been a time in your life that you knew I'm a sinner, Jesus died for sins? I feel that. I know I'm a sinner. I wish I were a better person. You ever feel that? You ever experience that? Well, salvation's available if you'll turn to Jesus Christ. So how do we do it? We'll have an invitation shortly. And an invitation is a time for prayer. And we're going to be praying all over this room. We're going to go to prayer. We're going to pray. That's how we finish our sermons. We have an invitation, a time for prayer. And you know what? When we go to prayer, you could go to prayer. You could turn to Jesus. You could call on Jesus. You could trust in Jesus and he'll save you. And we'll have a time where you can come down here and let us know and we'll pray with you. Because salvation's a heart matter. How many of y'all agree so far? You with me so far? Wave your hand if you're with me so far. One more thing here. Do you know that sanctification is a heart matter? How many of y'all believe in sanctification, do you? You know what sanctification is? That's the process of you becoming like Jesus. That's sanctification. It's the process of you becoming like Jesus. Did I say that right? It's the process of me and you becoming like Jesus. How many of y'all remember when you got saved? Do you remember that? When you got saved, how many of y'all remember that? How many of you, just out of curiosity, anybody here when you got saved, you were just really messed up? Anybody here like that? Just out of curiosity, anybody here just really messed up? Anybody here addicted to cigarettes when you got saved? Anybody here like that? Anybody here had a temper problem when you got saved? Anybody here like that? Or a tongue problem? Anybody here have that kind of an issue in your life? You know what I discovered about Christianity? When you get saved, when you turn to Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden I'm a believer, I just got born again, I'm on my way to heaven, I'm saved. You know what I discovered? Those who smoke cigarettes and now they got saved, you know what they're going to want to do tomorrow morning? Smoke another cigarette. Anybody here identify? You identify? I had a temper. Oh my goodness. My daddy had one. My daddy had a terrible temper. I'm talking about extreme temper, my daddy. He got saved when I was in kindergarten. I remember that service. He got saved. And that day my dad got saved. Now he's on his way to heaven. He's a child of God. You know what he still had a problem with? His temper. You know what the Bible plan is for us to do about that? Is to grow in Jesus Christ so that Christ will dwell in our hearts by faith.
That's God's plan. So I don't know what's going on in your life. None of us have arrived. How many of y'all agree with that? How many of y'all agree you got still got some growing to do? How many of y'all older folks know that, don't you? Don't let your older years be your colder years. Keep on growing. Keep on advancing in your faith. Don't you young folks think you've arrived? You got a long way to go. And none of us ought to be discouraged because we can grow in the Lord, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. Sanctification is the process to where the Word of God begins working in our life, God's Word, God's truth. And as believers, we begin growing in the Lord. And as I grow in the Lord, you know what happens? The Word of God moves into my life. Jesus moves into my life, is how Paul said it here. Well, what's he mean? Is that something mystical? Jesus lives in my life. Well, it's actual, but it's practical. You know how Jesus lives in your heart by faith? When you get into the Word of God and start learning the truth, and you start letting the Spirit of God work in your life so that Jesus can take over in your life and your life can become like Jesus' life, there's a sense in which your life can become Jesus' life. Galatians 2:20 says that. You ever read that? Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. How many of y'all are Christians? Are you? Are you saved yet? If you're saved, are you aware of the fact that God wants to move into your life in such a way that the Spirit of God takes over your life, that Jesus dwells in your heart, and you know what happens? You begin growing in the Lord, advancing in your faith. How often do believers say things like this? You know, I ought to be a better husband. Hold on a minute. Then get at it. Sanctification is stop the talk. Get the truth in your heart. Get the truth in your mind. Get your thoughts lined up on what a husband ought to be. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, let Jesus live in your life so that you can live this Christian life. That's called sanctification. Somebody says, I ought to have victory over that. This old temper of mine, I ought to quit cussing. I lose my temper and say things I'm embarrassed about saying. Well, stop talking about it. Are you a child of God? Then it's time that you start getting to the Word of God. Let the Holy Spirit of God fill you so that Jesus Christ can begin living in your life. In such a way, literally what he's saying, and it really is a literal statement. What he's saying is, I can live my life in such a way, watch me, that these hands become Jesus' hands. This voice becomes Jesus' voice. My emotions are Jesus' emotions. My reactions, gone to meddling here, my reactions are Jesus' reactions. Somebody can cut me off in traffic. How do I respond to that? How dare you? I'll see you at the next traffic light, but now you're in front of me and I'm mad about it. Come on, y'all identify with this? But a child of God should live in victory, shouldn't he? Well, we're not to be bothered by this world we live in. We're to be sanctified, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, so that your thinking is Jesus' thinking, your emotions are Jesus' emotions, your decisions are Jesus' decisions. Boys, if every decision of your life as a Christian young man, if every decision of your life you think the truth, you let the truth govern your emotions, and you make the decisions that Jesus would make based on the truth, you know what? You'll be a mighty man of God. Do you know that, ladies and gentlemen? That's true of all of us, isn't it? What we got to do, we got to get to God's Word. Let me challenge you as we're here in this revival. Let's just get back to the Word of God. Let's start there. Let's get back to the Word of God. Let's say, God, I need truth in my life because I'm not everything ought to be. I need truth in my life. I'm not everything ought to be yet. I need truth in my life. Stop your worrying. Get the Word of God and let the Word of God start helping your worrying. Is that fair? Stop losing your temper. Let the Word of God help you to grow and get victory over that. Stop being depressed and discouraged and down and frustrated and irritated and hard to get along with. Stop being so grouchy. You're a child of God. You need revival. Let the Word of God move in. Let Jesus live. Let Jesus take over. This is reality. It's not some nice spiritual thing to say. It's how God wants us to live. In His power, in His Word, through His strength, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. This is a spiritual transaction. Are you all aware of that? Let's finish this outline and we'll be done. It is a spiritual transaction that leads to a spiritual transformation. What's God want to do? I'm almost done now. What does God want to do? He wants this transaction to happen to where my heart, my thoughts, my emotions, and my decisions are right. That leads to a transformation. I told you about my daddy. My dad has a temper like a wildcat. He got it from my grandmother. Granny Young's a big woman. She and my papa were hilarious. She was a big woman. He was like this microphone right here. And he was, I think he was 5'7" or something. She was 6'1" or 6'2". And he was slim, little skinny guy. And she was a big woman. She's like that piano right there. And she could take you. I don't mean she was big in the sense she was heavy. I mean she is strong as a mule. She could whip any man in this room. And if she couldn't whip you, she'd chew you. And I wish I were joking. Because she went to jail when I was in the sixth grade because she lost her temper and shot at her daughter-in-law 3 times. That's my Granny Young. Aren't y'all glad I'm saved? She is a rough one. My dad was like his mom. He had a temper like a wildcat. But let me tell you what happened. My dad, who got saved when I was in kindergarten, kept battling that old temper. My daddy went to a service on a Sunday night, and the Word of God grabbed hold of his heart. My dad made a decision. By God's grace and God's help, I'm going to live the Word of God, and I'm going to be a different man. And he actually came home that night and sat us down as a family and apologized for his temper and asked us to be patient with him because his goal was that Christ would dwell in his heart by faith. It's not the words he used, but it's the truth he used. My dad's this year going to celebrate his 60th wedding anniversary. He and my mom are alive on Christmas Eve. He's almost 80. You know, my dad is one of the most gentle, easy to get along with, quiet, calm men you will ever meet. What happened to him? What happened to him? He had a temper like a wildcat. What happened to that man? See what happened to that man? He had a spiritual transaction that led to a spiritual transformation that led to one more thing, led to spiritual triumph. My dad found victory. Church family, can I say to you that victorious Christianity is growing spiritually so that Jesus Christ can live in your life? Victorious Christianity is growing spiritually so that Jesus Christ can live in your life. It's not about you trying harder. It's not about you meaning it more. Don't we do that in revivals? Lord, I mean it this time. I'm really going to find victory over this, and I'm really going to start a family altar. This time I mean it. Stop it. How many times have you tried and failed? You know why? Because when it's you, you'll fail every time. But when it's the Spirit of God in Jesus Christ, you can live in victory. No wonder Paul said it. No wonder. Paul said it like this. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's the point of this passage. How did he do it? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That's what he's talking about. It's spiritual growth. So here's the second decision of our revival meeting. Those of us that were in the 9:30 hour, our first decision of our revival meeting in the 9:30 hour, first decision was I want to be Spirit-filled. I want the Spirit of God to lead and guide my life so I can live in victory. Put it on the screen, my brothers, would you? Let's get the last screen there. Here's our second decision of this revival. I want Jesus Christ to be my God and my Savior. There's a man in this room, and today's the day of salvation, sir. You know about God and Jesus, but you've not yet been saved. Would you make this decision? I want Jesus Christ to be my God and Savior. How about a teenager? How about a teenager? I want Jesus Christ to be my God and Savior. Is there a lady that way? All of us who are believers, could we make that last decision? I want Christ through His Word to dwell in every area of my heart. I want Jesus Christ through His Word to dwell in every area of my heart. Let's have an invitation, shall we?
Let's respond in prayer. We're not going to sing during this invitation. We're going to pray. How many of you believers would say, Dave, in the Sunday school hour, I saw in my life that I need to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man? How many of y'all saw that in Sunday school? How many of y'all were here with us? Did you? How many of you in this hour would say, David, I see it. I need Christ to dwell in my heart by faith. I want that spiritual transaction to lead to a spiritual transformation so I can have spiritual triumph. How many of y'all want that in your life, do you? Wave at me. Don't you want that? Then let's have an invitation. You can do several things. You can pray at your seat if you want. I'm okay with that as long as you pray. You can make an altar. The front of this auditorium is broad, and there's places here to kneel. You could make an altar. Say, God, like my daddy, I want victory. God is able to help you. You can live in victory. But while we go to prayer as a church, what about you that need to be saved? What would I have to do to convince you to turn to Christ today? I'm talking about right now in this morning service. Would you bow your head in a moment and say, God, you're right, I'm a sinner, and I've said no to this long enough. I need Jesus in my life. I need God in my life. Jesus, will you be my God and my Savior? Would you just pray that in your own heart? And then my wife's going to play the hymn in just a moment. When she plays the hymn, would you just slip out and let Pastor, one of our men in the church here, have a word of prayer with you, or one of our ladies, just to encourage you and strengthen you? Bow your head and close your eyes, would you? Bow your head and close your eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Can I ask you this morning, how many of y'all know for sure that you're saved through Jesus Christ? Raise your hand if that's you. I know for sure that I'm saved through Jesus Christ. I'm glad for that. Can I talk to you that just raised your hand? How many of you that just raised your hand would say, Dave, God's speaking to my heart. God is speaking to me in this revival, and I already know a decision I ought to make in this revival. Raise your hand, let me know it. God's already talking to me, and I know a decision I ought to make already. Raise your hand, raise your hand, raise your hand all over the building. In a moment, we're going to ask you to go to prayer. You can kneel if you want to, and I hope many of you will. You can pray at your seat if you'd like. Is there any man, woman, boy, girl, young man, young lady who would say today, David, I understand that I need Jesus Christ to be my God and Savior, and I tell you what I'm going to do. Dave, I'm going to pray right here at my seat and ask Jesus Christ to be my God and my Savior. I'm going to do it today. I'm going to pray right here at my seat. I'll let you pray at your seat. I want you to pray at your seat. We'd love to pray with you if you'll let us, but I want you to pray at your seat. Anybody who'll do that, Dave, I want Jesus Christ to be my God and my Savior, and right here, right now, I'm going to pray that Jesus will come into my life, forgive my sins, be my God and my Savior. I want to be a Christian, and I see what it means, and that's what I'm going to pray about. Raise your hand if that's you, and I'll pray with you. I want to be a Christian. God bless you, buddy. I want to be a Christian. I'm going to pray about it right here at my seat. Somebody join this young man. Who else? I want to be a Christian. Pray for me, Dave. I want to be a Christian. I know God is working in my life. God bless you, ma'am. I appreciate you. I want to be a Christian. Who else will join these? Who else? All right. Now you that raised your hand and whose heart God is working, pray it, would you? Pray like this. Oh, God. Pray it. Oh, God, I'm a sinner and I know it. And oh, God, I want Jesus to be my Savior, to forgive my sins. Pray it. With all your heart, pray it. I want Jesus to be my God and my Savior, and I mean it. I want to become a Christian today. Today, I'm becoming a Christian. I want Jesus to be my God and my Savior. Now, you pray that. I'm going to pray for you. We're going to stand, go to prayer. And you that prayed that, let Pastor and me have a word of prayer with you. We won't embarrass you, but we'll pray with you. Father, I pray for this young man. I pray for that lady. I pray for several others who have not yet raised their hand, but in whose heart you're working. Every person here needs to be saved. And, oh, Lord Jesus Christ, draw them to yourself. And in the mighty, mighty power of your Spirit, help them to see they're a sinner. Help this day to be the day of their salvation. Oh, Lord, I pray. All of us in the room who are already Christians, already saved, Lord, many of us here already see areas of our life, another step, another area of growth, another area we need victory. So just start a revival right here in our hearts and our lives during this invitation. Do something mighty, I pray. Now let's stand to our feet, shall we? Bethany's going to hit our first note.